WWE Hall of Famer Teddy Long, and you're about to go one-on-one with Talking Taker. Holla.
I got you.
It's a long career to talk about. Come take our last ride and hear about every pay-per-view. We'll break it down from 1990 to the final farewell. There goes our hero, watch him as he goes. There goes our hero, take her easy.
All right, creatures of the night, welcome to Talking Taker, our encyclopedic exploration digging up the career of the greatest professional wrestling character of all time, The Undertaker. I want to thank everybody out there in the Pod Street crew for joining us for yet another round of Dead Man Talking. My name is Alex Storio, and I am one of your co-hosts, one of the creatures of the night, one of the members of the PSK, and I am joined, as always, by my tag team partner, my wrestling buddy. He is a fellow survivor of Abdullah the Butcher's House of Ribs and Chinese Food himself. That's right. The best ribs in town and the best after effects in Mr.
Abdullah's
Travis,
revenge.
That's right. That's right. We're talking about that tonight because we're going back to Atlanta 13 years ago for the special bonus edition of Talking Taker. And we are joined on this special edition by a man who was not there, but we are making him our fellow honorary ATLian for the night, Randy. You just the only as long as you don't call it Hotlanta, okay?
So he's not an outcast?
Yeah, he's no longer an outcast.
You're an insider, baby.
So Hotlanta is no longer a thing. It's just like what people call Minnesota mini. And like, yeah. No, people don't do that.
I guarantee you I never will do that.
Yeah, it's only a thing for people who aren't from Georgia. Yeah. It was never a thing for people in Georgia, okay? So don't call it that. But Randy is here. If Travis is the Sean Mooney of the podcast, Randy, you're like the Josh Matthews or maybe the Mark Lloyd of the podcast.
Mike Adamly.
Lucas from WWE.com, maybe.
Mike Adamly. No.
Oh, frequent guest, our time traveling correspondent. And Randy, we invited you here for a special occasion because we've actually done some watch alongs with you in the past. We covered WrestleMania 25 with you. We did WrestleMania 26 watch along with you. And then last year we did a bonus episode. We did WrestleMania 28. So I figure here it's the 15th anniversary of the first match of this quadrilogy, tetralogy. I was trying to look up what the appropriate word is. Apparently you can interchange both of those for this four pack series of cinematic matches, whatever you want to call it. But we did 3 out of 4. You got to join us for the fourth one here. We got to complete the box set here.
I appreciate that. I'm so thankful to be on again. We were talking a little bit before we hit record. I don't know what number club I'm in, the 9-timer club or the 10-timer club, but I'm happy to be a part of whatever that club is. But we both should know that this is just going to spill into all the WrestleManias, right? We're just going to do them all eventually. Let's just keep going.
The entire streak.
right.
He's making a pitch. All right. PSK out there, let us know. Do we need to have Randy on to cover the entire streak? Leave a comment. there. But yeah, it's the 15th anniversary of the first match of that four pack. Since we've already done that one, I thought we could just complete the four pack here. And really what I'd like to do, we're going to drop this one and then maybe right around WrestleMania time, I think I'll just drop like a megasode and I'll just like push all four of those into one
Snyder
giant
cut.
Episode. Yeah, with just the watch alongs, you know, I'll cut out, you know, some of the pre-match chit chat and everything, but just we'll have that if someone out there, if one psychopath wants to watch all four of those matches with our alternate commentary to it. You can do that. So we had to have you on for that. But man, like you said, it's been a little while. You joined us for the toy recap episode back in November, all the Undertaker merch of 2023. But how you been, man?
Been good. So Travis is here, right? So are we on the mothership right now? This is not a bonus episode.
I mean, it is a bonus episode. It's not a numbered episode because it's a watch along. There's no real logic to it.
Okay.
But
it's like points.
Do you want to make? We can make it a number.
It's
we
like
can make this 223.
Anyway.
I just figured now that means I'm on the mothership 6:05 Saturday night.
All right, we can call this 223.
That's fine.
Yeah,
I'm happy to be on here. It's kind of like Christmas though. I say there is a little bit of a drawback in that if you are part of the episode, then on the first of the month or whenever this drops, everybody else gets that brand new episode in their feed and they're like, all right, you know, and you get to hit play when you're driving to work or mowing the lawn or whatever. And then if you're a part of the episode, you don't get to have that. I'm opening my present early because I lived it. But it's a small
exactly.
price to pay. Small price to pay.
You don't listen to it back? Come on, man. We need the numbers not, here.
Yeah, that's right. I should listen to it.
We can use that extra
stats.
One. Yeah.
Right. But if anything, it's not you guys. It's just listening to my own voice for an hour. I'm like, God, is that really what I sound like?
I understand. That takes do it on
one. Do it on 1.5 and you 1.5.
There
you all recognize
good.
It.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that may be disappointing, but you got some exciting news this week. I think we all did because I said you're an honorary traveling partner to this retro WrestleMania trip. But you and I, we may be traveling partners again this coming August because SummerSlam is coming back to your neck of the woods, Cleveland.
Yeah, dude.
Right. Back to the Midwest. I would have laid my mortgage payment on the fact that the Midwest is never going to get back-to-back SummerSlams.
Yeah.
And which is why last year when we went to Detroit for SummerSlam, we left Detroit the day before and we went and did Cleveland because we thought it would be fun.
Exactly.
Now SummerSlam's in Cleveland, so who knew that was going
to go to Detroit.
Right.
It's on the table, you know. We'll see what happens. Detroit had some sick toy shops, man. Detroit was fun.
Right. So, there was even one we didn't make it to. We ran out of time. There was still one left out there. Nerd out. Yeah.
So we'll see if we make that 3-hour trip or if which was the night where Tommy got us lost? Was that after SummerSlam itself getting back
to
the house?
Okay. Yes. We were coming back to the Airbnb from SummerSlam and Tommy got us lost in the deepest, darkest depths of Detroit. I have no idea where we were.
Dang.
Well, it was like. I don't remember it was like Washington Road, but he got us to Washington Street or something. But it was something more obscure. It was like, how is there a road and a street? It was like some
like
really obscure
Reginald area. P. Feathercock Street and Reginald P. Feathercock Lane.
It was something wild like that. But you know, we love it. It just added a little extra 20 minutes to the night.
It added an extra story. Look, you know, all turned out fine.
Yeah. It really did. But man, so that, like I said, Randy, Travis and I, we went, not Randy Travis and I, not the country singer, but Travis and I, we went to this WrestleMania. We watched Undertaker and Triple H at WrestleMania 27. We have a full episode telling about our whole weekend trip to WrestleMania. I'm sure some of those stories may still come up here, but we've told that story before. What was your WrestleMania 27 experience like? What are your memories of watching this match live?
I was trying to think back to see if there was anything memorable or good. I like, for instance, I remember WrestleMania 25, about an hour before the pay-per-view, I tried to call my local cable provider at my apartment and order it, right? That's what you do. And they acted like it was too close to showtime. They couldn't give it to me. So I had to get my IT on the phone, which is Deanna. She's on the phone and I'm in the background screaming like, I better get WrestleMania. And the lady was going to ma'am, I'm going to have to terminate the call if he doesn't calm down. So that was a good WrestleMania 25 story. We did get the show, by the way. I don't know if I have anything that memorable for WrestleMania 27. I was in Lansing, and I think Dee and I are living together at this point, if I'm not mistaken. So I either watched it with her, which is a strong possibility, or I went over to my buddy Doug's house. Doug is Fitzy's godfather. He was also in my wedding. So big, strong possibility. I also watched it with him, but nothing as memorable as you guys being there. And I don't remember 100% from your first run through the show, but I was wondering as I was watching it back, how close were you guys? Were you guys anywhere near being on camera? Were you in row ZZZ? Refresh my recollection.
Travis?
We are not in ZZZ. We have some pretty good seats, in my opinion.
Really?
So okay. We are on, I guess we're on hard cam side, aren't we? But we're not on the floor.
Yeah, but not like.
We're not. And then we're up. So there's floor, and then there's like the rows right above that go up. And then I guess we're the second section of that, right? If I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's at the Georgia Dome, which, you know, RIP no longer exists, but was the Falcons stadium. So we're on the field, you know, and we're not like in the seats. So we're just on risers on like little folding chairs out there. And we bought the premium whole weekend package that they offered there, because this was WrestleMania coming to Georgia. It had never happened before, and we thought it would never happen again, and it really does look like it's never going to happen again. It hasn't happened since.
Why would you not go to Mercedes-Benz, like, in Atlanta? Why would you not go there?
It's a great stadium. I have no idea why they haven't gone there. But so we all, me, Travis, our buddy Josh, our buddy Chuck, we went all in on the travel package. So we had the four nights in the hotel, Hall of Fame tickets, two access passes, autograph session with the world champ, The Miz, whose t-shirt I'm rocking, right? The WrestleMania souvenir Miz t-shirt, which pretty much no longer fits me anymore, but squeezed myself into it for tonight. But yeah, I think we got the silver package. So, gold or platinum was like front row or on the floor. Silver was right up above that. Yeah. And you can see us the best during the national anthem, they do a shot where our buddy Josh is wearing this bright green Columbia fishing shirt. the story was, we started walking from from the hotel where we were walking to, dinner.
I don't know. It was one of the two. Yeah. I think it was the day before the show.
I had on my Santino shirt. Travis, you had on, you had on like a Pearl Jam shirt or Eddie Vedder shirt.
Yeah, the Eddie Vedder shirt. And we walked past a guy in the same Eddie Vedder 2009 tour. The odds of that blow my mind. Yeah.
Chuck had on like the classic purple macho man sunglasses shirt. And Josh just has on this fishing shirt. Then we had another buddy there, Caleb. He's got on the Austin shirt. And we walk all like, you know, half a mile, and Caleb's like, Josh, you're not wearing that to WrestleMania, are you? Because he's just wearing this green button-down fishing shirt. Josh is like, Caleb's like, I left my tickets in the room. I didn't think you were possibly wearing that to WrestleMania. Why are you not wearing a wrestling shirt?
So we had something to walk
all the way
back. Yeah.
Maybe his strategy was to be easily seen on camera, right?
That's what I was trying to get to in my long-winded story. We can actually point him out so we can find ourselves there.
When I went to Saturday Night's Main Event 2006 at the I think that was at the Joe, and that was where like JBL had that beer drinking contest with Austin and stuff like that, and I wore I worked at Kmart and college summers, and they had the Joe Boxer clothing line, and I wore the bright yellow Slippery When Wet shirt to the show. But I did that for a reason, because you can see when JBL pulls his limo and he kind of pulls it to the side of the aisleway there and gets out, there I am in my shirt.
Nice. Boom.
Yeah. Travis, I believe you wore a tie-dye Jerk Club shirt when we went to see SmackDown, and
that was when I went to Raw, and when ECW invaded, the invasion started. I wore it there. Yeah, I'm on TV there. You can see me there. Yeah,
that's the best.
Zoom in. That's the best.
anyone's ever been. Yeah, they
literally zoom in on me holding that rhino, I guess, poster I made.
Yeah.
So yeah,
it's 15-year-old Travis. Just that 1 second shot. And it's a great sign too.
It's great.
You nailed it. You nailed it.
I think I have it saved in my favorites here.
Well,
oh dang it, I don't.
I'll ask one more question before we get into it here, because it is a long match, and I want to give us, you know, plenty of time to talk during the match. Well, I'm sure we'll have stories to talk about during it, but there it is.
There it is.
Oh, can you see?
Yeah.
There he is. It's getting a little blurry, but that's him. A little homemade rhino sign.
That was epic. Were you, Randy, when this match got announced, as the hardcore Undertaker fan that you were, Travis and I, maybe we weren't quite on your level back then, was this a match you were hyped about? This is Undertaker going for 19-0 at WrestleMania, coming off the two back-to-back match of the night, five-star, best matches ever with Shawn Michaels, when Triple H comes out and Undertaker comes out, they have the wordless stare down promo. Are you hyped for this match? Is this the kind of match you're looking for out of the streak at this point in time?
I actually thought when they were doing this 2-21-11 thing with the rainy cabin, I really did, even though I didn't think it was necessary. I didn't see the correlation as we come off the heels of your Sting episode last month. I actually thought that this was going to be Sting. I really did. Or Jason Voorhees, one of the two, you know, like, who's it going to be? I really thought it was going to be Sting. So it was when it wasn't, I thought, okay, they're finally going to get to it. Sting finally signed. All right, it's going to be a cool match, you know. And then when they did, so it was a little bit, not a disappointment, but a little bit of a swerve, bro, when the Undertaker was the one that opens the door to that cabin. And I'm like, oh, this is not Sting. And then so Taker comes out and I'm like, oh, this is just Taker returning. And then, you know, Triple H immediately interrupts him and comes out. And so I wasn't ready for that. You know, I felt like I wasn't ready. I need a redo. You know, I thought it was going to be Sting and the Undertaker, and now it's Triple H and the Undertaker. And I was hyped for it. I was hyped for any match that he had. And I think this was going to be his first run as a once a year competitor. So I was just at that point, you're just happy to get whatever you can, whenever you can. So I did think that I was hyped for it just because he's wrestling and I'll take it. Even though we've already seen it once before, but I guess we're acting like we haven't.
Right?
Yeah.
What about you, Travis? What was your feel? Was this one of the top ones you were excited to see live, or was it somewhere underneath Michael Cole and Jerry Lawler for you?
Okay, it's Snooki, then Michael Cole, and then this. No, I'm just kidding. No, this was, I think, besides, like, I mean, as far as excitement for the night, I think the Punk Randy match, we were pumped about that. Pumped about this probably the most, and also pumped for Miz and Cena just because it was fun, you know, but like, I think this one's the one I was probably looking forward to the most out of the whole night. I think I'll speak for you and Chuck and Josh. I think we all were, if I'm not mistaken, like this was probably the match that we were like the most hyped for. So,
well, you knew it was going to be a great match.
Yeah.
You knew it was going to deliver with these two guys. I think that opening promo with that wordless segment, still one of my favorite segments of all
time.
That's
one of the best. Yeah.
That definitely got me excited, but I think it wasn't quite what I was hoping for at first when I'm just thinking, oh, Undertaker, Triple H. Okay. We've seen that already. It's probably not going to be as good as the Shawn Michaels matches. And there's no shot Triple H is beating the streak here. He like Taker's getting to 20-0. Like, let's be honest. Like, we know he's going to hit 19-0. He's going to get to 20-0, probably going to retire after that. And that was my mindset at the time. So it felt a little bit predictable, I think. So maybe there was a little bit of that. But yeah, by the time we got to it, I was excited for it. And by the time the night was over, certainly the highlight of the night for us.
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt.
But we got plenty to talk about during the match. We are going to watch along the entire match, including the intros. And I know we've got some stuff to talk about during the intros here. And if you would care to join us by rewatching this classic, it's a match that ranked in our top 20 of all time for Travis and I. We'll get your opinion on that in a little bit, Randy, if you think it's in your top 20 Undertaker all-time matches. But you can join us on Peacock on season 27 of WrestleMania, episode 1. at 2 hours, 15 minutes, and 40 seconds. If you're watching,
they only had one episode that season.
There's only one episode. Yeah.
Okay. Rider strike. Forgot.
No pre-show. Yeah. No. Nothing. None of that stuff back then on this night. There's a dark match battle royal that we saw.
Yeah, we did.
Yep. But season 27, episode 1, 2 hours, 15 minutes, and 40 seconds. So I'll give everybody a chance to get that queued up if you do want to watch that along with us. And while we're doing that, I'll give me a great chance to talk about our sponsor for this month's episode of the podcast. And I'm very excited to say we are brought to you tonight by a fellow podcast. We're brought to you by the Art of Manliness podcast here tonight. And I think it's perfect because when you look up manliness in the dictionary, you might just find a picture of these two guys right here. I don't mean Travis and Randy, although, you know, all due respect. I mean The Undertaker and Triple H. Guys, does it get any more manly than these two men right here?
Not really. That's pretty much it. That's peak manliness.
Did you see the shades that Triple H was wearing for the buildup of this match? That doesn't get any more manly than that.
Exactly.
Exactly.
So that's
leather,
why...
leather jackets, leather slash jean jackets, motorcycles, the leather, all the tats, everybody. Yeah, dude. Yeah. Married the boss's daughter.
Motorhead, Metallica, yeah. Johnny Cash.
Johnny Cash. Dude. Come on.
Well, that's why it's perfect. We're brought to you by the Art of Manliness podcast. The Art of Manliness was founded by Brett McKay in 2008, and it is the largest independent men's interest magazine on the web. And I have been a fan of the Art of Manliness. I became familiar with it when I bought a book that they published called Manvotionals back like 2011, 2012, back in my youth pastor days. And I read that book all the time. It had great stories, great quotes from great men in history in it. And I used it in messages that I gave to kids. I gave copies of that to kids in my youth group before. And the Art of Manliness is all about being a man in the modern world. I don't just mean eating steak, smoking cigars, or some other random, you know, antiquated masculinity traits. They give you advice on how to cultivate real life skills, reach your potential, be a better friend, husband, citizen of the world. And the Art of Manliness podcast is the latest extension of that. So Brett McKay, the host of it, every week he speaks with experts from fields of fitness to philosophy to relationships to productivity, gives you life-changing advice and insights on the podcast. And there's over 900 episodes, so they've got us beat, Travis.
Yeah, a little
bit. Got us crushed. And it's great because it's not like time sensitive, so it's
right.
Evergreen stuff. You can go back all through the archives and listen to this stuff. It doesn't go out of date. Some of the latest episodes include The Secrets of Super Communicators, A Butler's Advice to Managing Your Household, which I listened to the other day. I really enjoyed it. Learned a lot of tips and tricks for how to keep my household nice and tidy. An Insider's Guide to the American Mafia, which is pretty fascinating. A Guide to Protecting Yourself Against Unexpected Violence. And Night Visions, Understanding and Getting More Out of Your Dreams. And I think Triple H probably could have used listening to either of those last two episodes. Maybe he would have fared a little bit better in this match back at WrestleMania 27.
Very true.
Any of those episodes sound like something you guys would like to listen to?
Absolutely.
Yeah, dude, I could definitely do the Night Visions.
Yeah. Get a little bit more of what's understanding what's in your dreams, what's going on out there.
Yeah, sometimes it's wild up there.
Right? Yeah, I've had some crazy dreams lately. Like, I don't know, like building a go-kart with my ex-landlord. Like, I would like... Let's translate that, right?
Please.
I dreamt last night that my daughter woke up from a bad dream, and I woke up this morning and she had woken up from a bad dream and was on the couch. So it was like a look into the future dream. It was weird, right? Dude.
Well, yeah. I think you might need to listen to that episode of the Manliness Podcast. And you can do that on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts out there.
Check it out right now.
Yeah, go ahead, check them out. Download it, subscribe, leave a rating and review. And if you do enjoy it, give them a follow on social media at Art of Manliness and let them know that Talking Taker sent you to the Art of Manliness podcast. So finish up with our episode with Randy. Go check out the latest episode of the Art of Manliness. We would appreciate it and know they would appreciate it too. So hope everybody has got everything queued up. Is everybody ready to hit the play button?
Yes, boy.
Sir. All right. We are all queued up. 2 hours, 15 minutes, 40 seconds. And Travis, as is tradition here, we'll let you give us the countdown.
All right, we'll go. We're going to go down from 10, 10 all the way to play and push play on play. All right, here we go. And 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, play. That was a Royal Rumble countdown.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, usually it's 2, 3, 2, 1 play. Yeah.
So that is generally where we are.
Oh, let's see. Are
little
we?
A little bit outside. They're pulling back. Well, we're facing the ring, but that's the side we're on, I guess.
Yeah, that's the side we're on right there. All right. Lights go down.
Triple H coming out first. We hear the bell tolling.
I remember when we walked in there, dude, and saw the set. It was just like mind blowing how like big and awesome it looked.
Yeah. Did you feel like that the WrestleManias you went to, Randy?
Yes. I mean, some of them I sat row Z, 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 Z. I was just happy to be there. But yes, absolutely.
And this, they have the mother box, like this cosmic cube thing. Like, it's crazy.
I forgot about that thing until I rewatched this.
I remember when Edge came out, I thought things was going to hit him in the face. Like, it was so far down in the ring. We just couldn't tell from the perspective we were at.
Yeah, massive video screen behind
so
him.
So big.
And Triple H making his presence known with these FCW people, I guess, probably holding these shields.
And it looks like teeth, does it not? Like, it just looks like a bunch of teeth to me. Like, it looks like it should be Isaac Yankum's entrance.
That's fine with me.
Part of the skull mask here. So I got the figure here in his epic entrance. I think it looks awesome when we finally see him.
Well, this
mask.
This wouldn't have been NXT.
Oh, it was pre-NXT.
It'd be the FCW guys or whatever. Yeah.
Maybe OVW or Deep South. I don't know.
It would have been FCW down in Florida before they abandoned Tampa and went to Orlando, like, overnight. So, yeah, I wonder who these guys were.
Famously had, you know, Charlotte and Alexa Bliss, Sasha Banks at 30, I think it was.
Yeah.
I think it's 30. So, yeah, I'm sure it is some people we know.
It's probably like Ty Dillinger and guys like that. Fandango. It's probably the guys like that down there. There he is.
Yeah.
The King of Kings.
Now, originally, before his music was playing there, it did play For Whom the Bell Tolls.
Yes.
By Metallica. That's what we heard in the arena and on pay-per-view. Of course, they don't have the rights to that anymore.
So, on Peacock, it's Generic Rock 4.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, creator wrestler music.
Right, yeah.
All right, Randy, let's be honest here. When you were in 2000, 2001, when Triple H started, or 2099, when he started doing this entrance with the water bottle and the spray, and how many times did you do that, like in the shower or around the house? All the time, right?
All the time, yeah. I do it in the shower or if we're out like in the yard on
the pool
summer day.
Or something? Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Put your arms up and flex and yeah.
I still, weekly, when I clean my part of the house, we've got a black coffee table, and when I dust it with Pledge, I do NWO.
You have to.
Every single time.
That's I was about to say, don't you still do the water bottle spit? I mean, who among us does not?
Yeah. Don't drop the gimmick till the DVD commentary, baby. like Robert Downey Jr. Keep it going. Look at this, man.
And it's the secondary spit, too. That's the good one right there.
That is the good one.
That's my favorite one right there.
Yep.
I don't know how many times I did that pose. Did not look half as good, but I did it all the time.
Your hair's getting about to that length, though.
We're getting there. What's I'm going for?
Meat sign in the crowd.
Meat!
Big Sean Stasiak fan.
Big Sean Stasiak fan. Now, this match was fun because it was like there was no heel. They were both baby faces, but it was just like, I'm coming for the streak, basically, you know?
Yeah, I think Undertaker was wrestling just for the streak, and Triple H says, I have nothing left. I've been there, done that.
Exactly.
Bought the t-shirt, except for beating you and the streak.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Once again, we'll keep it under, we'll pretend like we never wrestled before at WrestleMania.
That was
10 years ago.
Why do you guys suppose that they didn't acknowledge that? Do you think that Vince really at the time believed that wrestling fans have no concept or long-term memory, yes, or so he's like selling you a product you've never gotten before, even though we have and we remember. Or do you think it's just we don't want at the time we didn't want to acknowledge Taker's biker days?
I was gonna say that I think that was part of it because they really weren't doing that at this time anymore.
I think it's a little bit of both of those.
Yeah, it's just one of those Vince things of Vince being weird, like not weird, weird, like we know Vince gets weird now, sure. But just yeah. One of his weird mental Vince-isms.
A little
like,
quirky.
It doesn't matter. That match isn't part of this story.
Yeah.
You know, so we're not going to talk about it.
But, I will say that this is the first time that the streak with Triple H, Matt, like the streak wasn't a thing back then.
Right.
When they faced the first time. You know?
It wasn't Taker until the next year. Yeah.
Right. Yep.
He acknowledged it. Yeah.
Travis and I did make a point when we went to Access and they had the Undertaker's graveyard set up. We have a picture of us pointing at they have tombstones for each match in the streak, and there is one for WrestleMania 17 there. So we were like, it did happen. We're not making this up. They do acknowledge it. So we have a picture of us pointing to that. And there's the Shaq right there on the big screen and the big logo, and we're hearing the Graveyard Symphony, you know, the famous funeral march theme song as we listen to it. But what were we hearing in the arena?
Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. And a bunch of chains clanking like Jacob Marley walking through the halls.
Yeah.
Did that excite you hearing that live on the pay-per-view, Randy, or were you like disappointed it wasn't the traditional entrance?
No, I loved that when they used that for like build-ups and stuff on the video packages, and they used it for his music. I loved it. I think I used the lyrics to that song. I think I took my last law school final not too long after this, you know, maybe in a few months after WrestleMania. And I remember posting on Facebook, like with the lyrics to that song, like to the chorus, like I beat law school, you know?
Yeah.
Love it. Yeah. I thought it was going to be his new song. Like,
yeah, we did.
Hearing it there in the arena, I was like, oh, this is, he's going to use this for the rest of his career, and it'll be awesome.
They'd already licensed Limp Bizkit and Kid Rock before, so we're like, oh, sweet. Now we get some JC, man. Like, this is awesome.
I loved it.
Get some cash, man, up here.
This
is, what, 5 years after Walk the Line came out and Johnny Cash had kind of had a resurgence? I think that was 06 when that movie came out.
I think you're right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great movie, by the way.
Academy Award winning.
Exactly.
For Reese Witherspoon, not Joaquin Phoenix.
Not Joaquin. Yeah, for Reese. Yeah.
Now, weirdly, do either of you remember who Undertaker was feuding with prior to this match? Because he had gone away for a few months before coming back for this. Into 2010 or fall 2010?
His brother.
Was that one of the
lost three straight matches to Kane, right?
Yeah, and then he got buried alive by.
Don't remember.
Nobody? Randy?
I don't remember. Yeah.
Oh, the Nexus?
The Nexus.
Oh, yeah, that Nexus. Yeah.
The Nexus helped Kane bury him or something.
We thought assumed it was going to be him and Wade Barrett then when he came back. And instead we got this, you know.
It had to be the plan at some point in time, right?
Right.
It had to be.
Yeah.
So weirdly, you know, the Nexus doesn't even exist. Well, it does. Sorry. CM Punk is in charge of the Nexus here on this paper.
The new Nexus and the Core. They have a tag match.
The Wade Barrett's and the Core 8-man tag that goes about 45 seconds on this pay-per-view. So I don't know what happened in those 6 months.
Is it after this match?
No. After this is the Snooki 6-person tag, which also goes maybe 90 seconds. Yeah. So it's a weird show, man.
Well, it's because Michael Cole had like a 40-minute match. So
maybe longer than this match.
Right. Like how tough was it for, you know, you think about Randy Orton and Triple H having to go after Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker. How tough in this position today, Undertaker, Triple H have to go after Cole and Lawler? I mean, like, how do you follow that? Right.
I know. It was tough. We were exhausted. We could barely cheer for this match. We were so winded from the Michael Cole match. Especially when my favorite Jack Swagger ran out.
Oh, it was one of my favorites when Stone Cold nearly ran him over with the ATV on his entrance. I do have to admit, I was hyped for that match going into it. I was a huge Jerry Lawler fan.
Yeah.
I thought, oh, this is going to just be a classic. You know, they're going to do some great Andy comedy in here. This is going to be so much. Stone Cold is the ref.
Yes.
They're going to go 7 minutes. Michael Cole's going to
not be good.
10 stunners and a pile driver.
Yeah.
My God. It sucked all the air out of the Georgia Dome. Just one of the worst things I've ever witnessed live. I don't know how you screw that up.
How does this WrestleMania hold up for you, Randy? I'm a little biased that the hate it gets, because if people say it's one of the worst WrestleManias, I disagree. I think it's because we were there, probably, though. What do you think? What do you feel about this WrestleMania as a whole?
Well, I don't have any hate for this WrestleMania. I mean, this is a solid match, as we're talking about now, and as we've said before, this is a solid one. I think it gets a lot of hate because, what, The Miz beat John Cena, right?
Well, because the Rock thing kind of overshadowed that whole thing. It was like, it was obvious Miz was just a pawn in the game. Here we go. We're off to the races here.
I was so sick of John Cena, so I loved it. that was even a positive for me.
Yeah. I think, yeah, there's just some weird, not that great booking. Matches on yeah. here. Weird booking all around. Yeah, it just doesn't. I think it definitely gets ranked in the bottom third yeah. of WrestleMania, which is fair, I'd say.
Jeez. Taker just threw Triple H over the top rope to the outside. They've been slugging at it for about, I don't know, 80 seconds here. We're going already on the outside. Go with
yeah. Taker is the greatest pure striker in the game. Not sure if I'm Triple H, if I'm going to implore this strategy against right? The Undertaker early. Yeah.
Triple H is nothing if not egotistical here. And so right. he thinks he can hang here. But I love that they just went straight at it, man. No yeah. tie-up, no lock-up. Mm-mm. That's one of the signatures of some Undertaker stuff. We're already going for the table.
Yeah,
into I mean, it. This is exciting right off the bat.
Hey, we were talking before we hit record on the over-under on when my wife would hit the hay without me being around. We are 80 seconds into this match. She already turned the alarm on for the night. So...
Good for her.
Oh, through the coal mine.
There goes the coal mine. So the Spanish announce desk is messed up, and we have destroyed the coal mine. And you guys will appreciate my research. I thought, is this the death of the coal mine? Does it come back? The match is over, right? So I watched a little bit of Raw the next night. They taped the coal mine yeah. up. This is not the death of the
back.
Coal mine.
I do remember yeah. that.
And this was in the Raw General Manager. Isn't there that little podium over there? The little yep. random Raw general manager. Yeah. All right, Triple H roll back in the ring, just goading Taker to come back in. And Taker's giving him the look like, who do you think you are, kid?
Oh. Both guys do look great, yeah. I would say. Randy, you are correct. This is the this is the first year Undertaker's going to begin that only wrestling once a year sort of thing. Yeah. So obviously he had wrestled, I think his Night of Champions 2010 was his last match before this. But then after this, we would not see him again until Mania 28. Triple H still working a little bit more regularly. He's going to go into that CM Punk feud following this later on in 2011. Yeah, face Kevin Nash also in a ladder match
later yeah. this year.
That's a real thing that happened.
I don't know what happened, but it happened.
Ooh, old school check here coming up.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Steven and I always used to, we like to watch and see the percentage that he nails it.
Well, he never hits the first one, especially in these days.
There you go, yeah.
That's a classic Taker spot
toss
during this era.
I like Taker's black-on-black outfit here, like the black little logo on the side. I like that.
The demon, yeah.
The grayish-black, you know, I like it.
What I didn't like, Travis, was his shirt at the time. He was doing the Last Outlaw thing.
Yeah.
I've always loved the Dead Man as a better character, but I thought the ABA Big Evil had better shirts, because the Last Outlaw shirt was the Undertaker himself riding a horse, horse. I just can't do that.
Ichabod Crane or something, dude. That's weird. Yeah.
I remember them selling that at the arena, and it was not one that I gravitated towards.
No.
Well, you're wearing a Miz shirt right now.
Instead,
so
I wore the Miz shirt.
Dude, we got the Miz's autograph. That's insane.
We did. He was, not in the best mood, but we did get his autograph.
Hey, Miz does a good job on those A&E specials. Like, he puts anybody and everybody over. So I hope when the time comes for him to get his flowers, people will do the same.
Absolutely.
Miz is great. The Miz has never been, out with an injury. You can rely on him for anything. He can be a babyface or a heel. He never injures anybody. He doesn't have to have a 5-star match, as he entertains you when he's in the ring.
Yep. And he's got a severe man rack. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does. Hall of Famer for sure. Hall of Famer for sure.
Absolutely.
Oh, no question. No question. Got two Hall of Famers on the actual commentary out there. So Lawler has returned to commentary, and it was exciting to see
shirt.
Jim Ross was going to
yeah.
came out you know, he came out for the Michael Cole match and stuck around for the rest of the night.
Ow.
Back and body drop to the floor.
Ooh, from the table. No, yeah. Thank you.
That's right? Rough. Seriously. Huge bump there for Triple H.
That hurt me in the stands, dude.
Right.
Right. Like, oh, they know how to fall. How do you pull that off? That's it still hurts, right?
How do you learn to fall off a 20-foot ladder? I remember being on our feet for so much of this match.
Yes.
Just like being just so into it. Cause it was like, I think it just dawned on me too, like, this might be the last time I thought that these two go one on one at WrestleMania. Like, I was like, this is an iconic match. Like, these are two pillars of the last 10 years of this company, like going at it, or 15 years of the company rather, and just going at it. And like, I kind of soaked in the magnitude of it, not knowing they were going to have a repeat the next year. And
yeah, you know. We definitely didn't assume it was going to be a fourth one.
No,
there was no real indication, you know, there's no reason to assume they were going to run it back again.
Yeah.
I just thought, you know, he's picking up for Shawn Michaels, his friend, and he's going to continue the quest. And once he loses, we'll move on, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Speaking of, I remember this WrestleMania, like, I think Edge had his retirement match, right, at this WrestleMania. And then I looked, The Rock, CM Punk, and Cody Rhodes were all on the show. So the more things change, the more they stay the same,
right?
Yeah,
it's crazy, isn't it? Yep.
Didn't think about that part of it. Yeah.
It's wild.
Rey Mysterio also.
Yeah.
Doesn't look like, I guess he's not going to be on Mania this year.
Oh, yeah. He's back. He will be.
He's back? Okay.
Yeah. He came back 2 weeks ago. He'll be back on SmackDown this week.
Flying cow.
Oh. Huge dive.
Yeah. Triple H is about as good as catching the flying cow as Sim Snuka at WrestleMania 25.
The guy never worked another day in WWE.
I do remember Travis us being on our feet because most of this match so far has taken place outside the ring. So we're trying to see.
Yeah,
we're
that too.
To see the action.
That too. Well, yeah, because like you said, they go immediately to the outside and just, this is an old school brawl. This is like a, you know, this is not a wrestling match. This is a fight, you know?
Yes.
And it was just like, it set it apart from the rest of the matches on the show. You know?
Perfect.
We are 7 minutes since the bell rang, and we've already destroyed two announce tables and the coal mine.
Yeah.
What did you think, you know, traditionally about Undertaker Triple H matches in their rivalry, Randy? Was it like, is that one of your favorites, you know, going into this? Or was it, were you a big fan of that Mania 17 match?
Yeah, I was. I thought that they had good chemistry. I don't think Triple H can't fly around like Shawn Michaels does and be a bump machine, you know, but so it wasn't quite the same as that. But I think they had good chemistry together. I liked the WrestleMania 17 match. They went out to I think that one was thrown together more like, well, you're a big star. I'm a big star. We don't have nothing to do. Just throw them together. But I mean, they went out to the scaffolding, if you remember, fighting out there. And I liked that match. I thought they had a really good match for WrestleMania 17.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I thought that one was good. And then obviously the Hell in the Cell.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just amazing. And then this match is great too. I think they had three good ones.
There's a Brock Lesnar guy.
Triple H had just skimpy too.
Defeated Austin in 2001 in the Three Stages of Hell match.
Mm-hmm.
And then Taker had just won a tag team tables match or something, right? At No Way Out, or just lost or something.
I think his pajamas. Yeah.
Lost it. Yeah. And so it's like, they came out of that and then it's like, oh, we're going to throw these two together. Whoops, we forgot they need to be on WrestleMania. You know, it's just like, okay. So, yeah, we didn't have a story, but it was really good.
I was here we go. Mind buster.
Giant spot,
Jumped out of my seat at that point, I remember.
Huge pop. That was really well done.
Spinebuster through a Spanish announce table. So Spinebuster is columna vertebral destructora.
There you go.
If I get my Spanish right.
There you go. Did a little research.
Oh my God.
But no, you're right. Undertaker was fooling around with Haku and Rikishi.
Yeah.
Pay-per-view. I'm like, no. And so when we got WrestleMania with Triple H, I was like, okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
Although that match could have been cool because it could have been the only time we ever saw Taker and Kane team up at WrestleMania, which is one of those weird things. Like, how did we never see a Brothers of Destruction match at WrestleMania?
There's Brock Lesnar guy. I wanna be in whatever line of work he's in. Trust fund, baby. I don't know, but he's at every show. I need to see what he's doing.
The green shirt, smiley face guy.
Yeah.
And that girl, there's a girl in the front row right there in the green tank top. She's in front row of every Mania since like probably 22 or no.
Oh my gosh.
22 or 3, yeah. She's in the front row of everyone.
Well, you know, we're starting to become that for SummerSlam.
That's right.
We're getting
Yeah, you're 2-0.
I had 2-0. Yeah. Let's see if we can make it 3-0 this year. Big old choke slam from the dead man.
Choke slam wedgie combo. Deadly.
I ain't going to do it, though. Scott Armstrong, slow count right there. Now, Randy, I did look this up beforehand. There is a figure in this gear for Undertaker. I do not have it. I feel like I need to go back and get it because I was there.
Yeah, dude, you
got
there.
The entrance jacket, but it's an early Mattel, so I have not scoured eBay for it, but I bet it's pretty pricey.
Did you see what series it is? Is it like series 2 or something crazy?
I think it's 14, maybe.
Okay. That's so pretty early.
It's in the teens, yeah. But maybe they'll re-release it.
You should consult Steven Mart. He might have a bonus one laying around somewhere.
Ooh, that's a good point. He's always got extras.
That's why I had to buy that Monday Night Wars Undertaker just now because I was at that Raw with Stone Cold and the Zamboni. So
that's right.
The face scan is meh, but I was there, so I have to.
Yeah, dude.
I have the Mania 21 and I have the Mania 34 one. It was a little two pack with Roman. Sure. So yeah, I guess I gotta go back and get this.
Yes, sir. Back in the ring, kind of slowing things down, but still high drama, you know. These guys are both basically killing each other.
I did read about how the pace of this match is generally slow and you could watch it at 1.5 and it would probably be fine for you, but I get the story they're trying to tell, obviously, you know.
A little bit of a callback there to their previous match with the going for the last ride out of the corner.
Look at this. Four reverses in a row.
Oh, another spine buster.
That was great wrestling. Four reversals in a row.
Yeah, it was.
Dang.
But you're right. Triple H learned his lesson from this match acknowledging. Yeah.
I like that. That spot always works too. The last ride out of the 10 punches in the corner. Anytime he did that to anybody, that was always a huge, huge reaction.
And that was so novel. We were going back to WrestleMania 17 and how good of a match that was. That was novel at the time. So when he did that for the finish, I was like, oh.
Oh, yeah. You know? I think also did it with Mark Henry, which was also pretty awesome to see.
Sure.
Oh, Triple H gonna have a seat.
And of course they made this no DQ maybe like the day of the show. I think we all just assumed. Of course these guys
Taker surprisingly asked for this to be no holds barred, which you would assume Triple H being the heel tendencies, you know, would do that.
You knew that was gonna happen at some point. These later era Undertaker matches. Get all the bells and whistles.
I did read that Vince allegedly was unhappy and these two guys were fined for unprotected chair shots that happened in this match.
Yeah, I remember hearing that. But what are you gonna do with these two, you know?
Right.
It's
please don't
two.
Do that again.
Yeah. No, seriously, don't do it. Wink wink. Yeah. You're in so much trouble. Go to your room. That was a stiff chair shot to the back though.
They laid him in. You know, there weren't any headshots going around in this era.
The chair's bent.
But they made sure to lay him in.
Right. The chair is bent. Travis is right. This is why Steven and I talk about anybody that says like he hit Canyon on purpose and he had a reason for doing that, you know, hitting him that hard. I'm like, no, I think you need to watch Taker chair shots. That's pretty much all the time.
Yep. No question. Was there any point, do you think, watching this back? I know we'll get to one great near fall here, but did you ever have any doubt in your mind? Did you ever think, I don't know, this could be the night the streak ends?
No, not at all.
Okay. Yeah.
Not at all. I don't remember being nervous at all like I was for Randy Orton at WrestleMania 21. That really big false finish they have these two guys the next year at WrestleMania 28.
Oh, yeah.
I was peeing a little bit when that happened, but
the super kick into the pedigree, the greatest false finish of all time.
Yeah, that was a little scary.
Yeah.
But overall, I felt pretty good and safe about this one. But you never know in the World Wrestling Federation, pal.
Anything can happen.
Yeah.
Triple H, you know, we always rip on him for wanting to go over burying people, so there's always that chance. Maybe Undertaker's body's breaking down. Maybe he decides this is it. He's got to take his ball and go home. You never knew.
And he was always such a company guy. Like if they said, oh, lose the streak to Wade Barrett, he would have been like, sure. All right, you know. Oh, here we go.
Gadoosh! Oh, man.
Yeah, you wouldn't have thought back in 2011 that in 2024 Wade Barrett's going to be one of the lead announcers on SmackDown. You would have thought this guy's going to have 7 world title reigns, still probably going to be a top guy. It's just, I don't know, man. That's one of those weird, I'm still not quite sure what went wrong.
I don't know.
He really had it all.
Yeah, I'm a fan of him on commentary, though.
He is great.
Huge fan. I'm a fan of all the commentary right now. Cole and McAfee, give me some more of that. And then
right?
Graves and Wade Barrett is great. And then my boy, Shucky Ducky, quack, quack on the NXT. Let's go. I love Booker T.
Well, he did commentary earlier on this night until he got a Stone Cold Stunner during that Michael Cole match. Yeah. Keeps going back to that.
All right, Taker says it's over. Did the throat slit.
Firm control of this match up to this point.
And we did get that last ride out of the corner spot.
Yeah.
So that was nice storytelling to go back to that. Oh, you know this can't be it, right? Tombstone, it's too early, though.
If there was any other night but WrestleMania, that would be
right.
It.
These guys aren't working 12 minutes, you know?
Typical Undertaker, oh my gosh, he just kicked out reaction as he did with Shawn Michaels.
Yeah. Sometimes the people in the front row, I just wish they were more lively. You know, sometimes it's like you pay all this money, you save up, and then you just, I'm not talking anybody particular out, but they're just sometimes I'm like, you're kind of a dud, like to be in the front row. Like, I'm into it if I'm in row ZZZ. Like you said, like I'm just up and yelling and hollering and not being obnoxious, but just being into it. I mean, you're there, you know? It's like, I just don't get it. So these people just like stay seated the whole time and like don't react to the false finishes and stuff. I'm like, what's going on, man?
Yeah, we talk about WrestleMania going the way of the Super Bowl, where maybe only the richer people or the people with the inside track on tickets will be able to get in. And I want WrestleMania 41 is somehow some way in Minnesota. I will be there, even if it is in row ZZZ, just to enjoy the show
and
say that I was there. Even if there's a spotlight in my face, like there was at SummerSlam.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Dude, I hope they bring out Jason Kelce this year in Philly. Just because.
Sure.
I'd kind of be shocked if they didn't.
Yeah. Oh, DDT on the chair.
Oh, if that was Jake the Snake doing it, he'd be dead.
Yep.
Not Undertaker, though. I don't know. He kicked out a few of those DDTs.
Yeah, that's true.
I believe one on the outside at one point.
Yeah.
That WrestleMania 8 match. Yeah, I was watching, just going back to some of that Jake the Snake stuff. I was on the treadmill at the gym, and I just, you know, they have TVs on there and you can go on YouTube on there. So I just put in like 90s wrestling. I was just watching like a August 91 wrestling compilation, and it had Jake the Snake. They were doing Macho Man's bachelor party for his wedding with Elizabeth. I didn't realize the issues with Macho Man Jake the Snake started because Jake the Snake didn't get invited to the bachelor party. He shows up and he's not on the list. And Bobby Heenan's like, I tried to get you on the list. I don't know what's going on here. But Jake was actually kind of a baby face then.
Okay.
And then he shows up at the wedding party with the snake in the box. And it's because he didn't get invited to the bachelor party.
Dang.
I never realized that part of the story.
That's some sitcom stuff right there. That's perfect. Right?
Hey, we all know from putting weddings on, you can't please all the people, right?
No.
Some of those people are going to come back and put a snake in your box, right?
Exactly. One, put a snake in the box. Yeah. Here we go. Both guys pulling themselves up. Dude in the front row gave it L.I. from Long Island. It's good dude.
Pedigree number 2.
Pedigree.
Second pedigree.
Not a lot of people kick out of 2 pedigrees.
Oh,
he didn't
Scotty.
Hook both legs, though. He didn't hook both legs.
It was a sloppy cover.
Sloppy cover. I think Ross says that on commentary, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, you know Jim Ross is going to point out a sloppy cover.
Yeah, and a sloppy Joe. Either one.
And he's where he went to college and where he played football.
mm-hmm.
you know, Jim Ross, especially modern day, you know, can get a lot of crap. But I thought he was excellent on Sting's final match. And
yeah, I bet he was.
Would
yeah.
not have been the same without him there.
Yeah, I do want to watch it and hear him and Shivani on that. Oh, it's just perfect on the call. Oh, barely a kick out, though. Look at that kick out. That was weak, Sauce. He's winded, man. He's been through a battle here with Triple H. Growls
Triple
clapping.
H is kind of taking the lead. If this is a mm-hmm. football game, he's taking the lead here. Undertaker's running out of gas.
Momentum has swung his way.
And that was the big story, really, with Taker's matches with Kane in the fall. You know, those were the first wins Kane ever got on Undertaker. We saw him as weak as he'd ever been.
A third pedigree.
It's a Nobody third pedigree.
Ever of. Kicked out of three. There's no way.
I think that they say that on first. Commentary. Yeah. I feel like they do.
Oh, man.
And this was really the era where I feel like we started seeing, like, people kicking out of finisher after finisher after finisher. And
I was about to say that. Yeah.
Yeah. But these matches honestly, are definitely partially responsible for that.
Yeah, but you know what? For these two guys, especially for Taker, like, he's one guy I feel like can get away with it. Like, just because his character has been built for that, you know?
Sure.
Some guys, sometimes it's like, you know, you get, I don't know, man, like Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne. And I love them both, but like they go, you know, trade finisher after finisher, finisher and kick out. And they're both like the size of me. You know, I'm like, okay, let's. But these two guys and their character, it warrants, a triple pedigree kick out three times because Taker does not want that streak to die. Like, it has meaning, you know? It's not just to go, oh, wow, let's get 5 stars from Dave Meltzer. Like, it means something.
I think Dave Absolutely. Gave this one 4 3/4, if I'm not mistaken.
I got two words for him. You know that Will Ospreay has like 37 5+ star matches, and Kurt Angle has 0.
Wow.
So that tells you what I feel about Dave Meltzer's star ratings. How can you? Oh, never mind.
Anybody who doesn't give Shawn Michaels and Triple H, Shawn Michaels and Undertaker 5
Undertaker,
stars.
Undertaker, yeah.
Yeah, you lose a lot of credibility in my book right there.
Yeah, right. Did he not?
No. Triple H is giving about 20 stars worth of chair shots to Undertaker right
yes.
here.
Royal Rumble 1999 in the house here.
Yeah.
If it were a video game, all the stars would be pouring out of Undertaker or all of his coins or whatever with all those hits.
All like those little memes with the Sonic coins and stuff.
Exactly. Yes. That's what I was going for there.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All the Sonic the Hedgehog coins spilling everywhere. Triple H went. But this, I remember being like, pin him. Like,
but he's still moving. He's still moving.
He's like, what do I have to do? You know, do I have to get Rikishi out here with a Buick to hit him?
Right.
Like, what do I have to do? You know?
Well, that's the thing. There's story here. You know, it's not just. There's a reason for all of this. It's nuance. It's storytelling. This is why I love professional wrestling right here.
Right. I read a lot about like Triple H and Undertaker didn't bring anything new to the table in terms of the wrestling moves that they did. But this wasn't supposed to be, a shootout at the Tokyo Dome. This was a very different story.
Yes.
About how Triple H outlasts the Undertaker.
Yes.
And Undertaker still somehow gets out with the W.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Look at Taker just pulling himself up by the ropes. Like
this is how I get out of bed in the morning, right?
Yeah.
Oh, and there is a headshot. Oh man, that's where the fine goes right there.
Yeah. But then Triple H once again not covering. He's in the corner like Kurt Angle when he switched out with his brother Eric and beat Brock Lesnar on a SmackDown before WrestleMania 19.
Maybe that's what he should have done here.
That's one of the most clever bookings of all time, in my opinion. That Kurt Angle, Eric Angle thing. Golly, that was so good.
Everyone forgets about it because it was the night Undertaker had the infamous snakeskin pants on that night. So nobody remembers the great Series booking in that match. Yeah, Triple H still can't believe Undertaker is still moving. Do you see the guy with the Christian sunglasses in the front row?
Yeah, it's two guys next to each other.
Yeah.
Both of them set up on.
Oh, man. I wanted some of those so bad.
Oh, yeah, dude. We totally did. That would have reeked of awesomeness, man. For sure. We were Reekazoids, you know?
Big time.
Taker's doing his ab crunches.
JR and King have their serious voices on as if, like, There's really concerned about Undertaker's health right here. But he still won't go down.
Stay down. Stay down.
Right. He's yelling, stay down. And what's wrong with you? This sounds like me trying to put the baby to bed last week when Gianna was out of town.
Stay down. What's wrong with you? You didn't hit him with a chair, though. I mean,
no.
Okay.
That might have done the trick.
Or three pedigree.
He did give him a tombstone, though.
My son Fitzy would love Tombstone the baby. I'd fake Tombstone him and I'd lay him on the couch. You know, he loved it. Harper the girl does not like Tombstone the baby. Do not do that to me.
Joan loves getting power bombed right now. Yeah, she loves me like flipping her up in the air, and I have this big pillow in the living room, and she's just like, I can't. It's one of her favorites right now.
Do the Chris Jericho like triple power bomb on her? You know,
ooh, I should do that. I'll try that tomorrow. Uh-oh. Wait a second.
Triple H and Taker.
This is usually bad news. When somebody goes to the Undertaker well, they usually get burned, but.
Oh, do you see everyone? Yeah. 70,000 people just stood up right here.
Now they're standing up, Travis. There you go.
Oh!
Picture this. Perfect tombstone.
You know,
three pedigrees. And he did the tongue out thing, dude. So disrespectful. Dude. I remember jumping. Huge right pop. Then. Yeah.
And jumping. Triple H selling here, that selling of horror, like he's in a horror movie. Like Triple H gets it. He gets it.
I really did think that was it for 2 seconds. It was so good. It was so well done. They hooked me on that one.
Yeah.
Because I know I remember Randy Orton like, oh, I'm going to tombstone him. And then that got reversed and he got.
Yeah, he actually hit it.
Triple H yells it's over while staring at his friend's crotch, and then he drops him on his head, right? What a perfect ending.
Tongue out and everything.
Yeah.
The crowd is still roaring from that.
Yeah.
This is awesome chant.
When it was deserved. This was deserved. Oh, they earned it. This is awesome chant.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Undertaker just showed up at Travis's house.
Yeah, he did. I didn't even know what just happened.
He did. That was sick. Well, so three pedigrees don't do it, and a tombstone doesn't do it. What do you go to next?
Hammer. That damned hammer, as JR calls it.
Sledgehammer.
That's right. Here we go.
Old Sister Sledge, baby. Let's get her going. The crowd's still on their feet. It's getting real now. He's going to try to murder a man in the ring. You won't stay down, I'll crack your head.
That's right.
With the sledgehammer. Oh, and there's people, that guy in the corner over on the left front row, he had a one of those, like, Edge and Christian, like, Reeks of Awesomeness shirts on.
Yeah.
Yeah, the red one with, like, the 5 second pose on it.
The Charlie's Angels type shirt.
Yeah.
I like the little moment that Undertaker was, like, reaching for anything he could. He was trying to grab the apron, even, to hold himself back. But he's playing possum, it looks like.
And when he started using this move, I know he's an MMA fan. He started incorporating this in 08. I thought it was the dumbest move ever. But man, oh, man, on this night, I was glad he had it.
Yeah.
Well, they did a great job establishing it over the years. Like, it was over once he locked this in. People didn't get out of it. And you can hear the crowd. They know at this point. He did a great job of hooking him into it here. Out of nowhere. His last gasp effort. Can't get on his feet, but he can get him locked into this.
Right. This guy's down by 6 with 8 seconds left, and he just hit the Hail Mary pass.
And bingo.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, it looks like this should be a pin right here. I think Taker's shoulders are on the mat. I think Triple H might have got screwed right here. I think Taker's down for the 3.
Armstrong's in on the fix,
Yeah, he's a Texas boy.
And look at more great storytelling. Triple H got the sledgehammer just out of reach. He's weak.
I can't figure out how he's finding it and losing it like on demand. Like, how is he doing that?
Yeah.
I can't see.
Oh, he's lost all his strength.
It.
And Triple H is not somebody who's tapped out too many times in his career either.
Dominoes. falling.
Yeah, I don't know what that was.
Taker's turning my lights out. Dominoes are falling at your house. You're next, Randy.
I'm next, right? Triple H is fading.
Oh, yeah, he's lost a lot of blood flow to the brain at this point, but he taps out.
Yes. Couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
He's tapped out to Benoit, right, at WrestleMania 30.
Yeah, probably more times than
20. And he tapped out to Cena.
22. Yeah.
And he tapped out here. That's why I thought he wouldn't. I was like, he's already tapped out twice at WrestleMania. But, like, so I thought, but yeah, I blew my mind.
Because they could have just had him pass out like Austin against Bret Hart, you know? Yeah.
Exactly.
Especially if they're thinking about doing the rematch the next year. Say, you know, you never pinned me. I never submitted. I mean, that sort of stuff.
Yeah. Look how dead they both are.
Oh, yeah. And that's, of course, going to be the real story coming out of this. You know, we don't have to watch through to everything, but I mean, as the pyro goes off, we see the big 19-0 logo.
They just stole the show sign right there. So
the celebration that we usually see is happening. Pyro 19-0. Usually he's doing Shakespeare pose, but like, he's not because he's still dead. And that's the story. Now, you guys, back in 2011, you're there live. As all this is happening, and then we eventually have the lights go on, and Triple H is kind of loitering, and we're not sure, is he going to beat him up more? Is he going to help him? He's being awkward, I think, on purpose to show, like, oh, this is real. I don't know what to do, you know? And so are you guys sitting in the audience thinking, is Undertaker okay? Are you guys buying it or no?
I feel like maybe a little bit just because of how well done it was.
Yeah.
I'm always pretty – oh, look at that.
That's awesome.
Crowd. Every person's got a
little tombstone.
Tombstone for each match of the streak. That's really well done. But I'm always a little cynical and skeptical. I think everything's a work, but you know, I think I was like, I don't know, man. This is a lot.
And yeah.
Then Undertaker doesn't normally do stuff like this. I don't know what's going on. Psycho Sid.
A-Train and Big Show. Batista, Kane, Diesel, Edge, HBK. Bossman, Henry, Snuka, HBK, Orton, Triple H, Bundy, Ric Flair, Giant G.
Couldn't fit Gonzalez on there.
Shorty G, Giant G, yeah.
Right, who drew the short straw to have Giant G? Who'd get that tombstone, right?
Yeah.
And Scott Arms was asking for help.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was like, I don't know, man.
And I had heard, I think Taker even said on an interview a couple years ago that when he and Triple H pitched this to Vince, Vince didn't like it.
Yeah. You
know, they're like, hey, how about I go over, but I don't walk out.
Yeah.
You walk out. And Vince was like, well, the Undertaker always walks out. Well, what if he doesn't? And so he evidently let them do it, but he apparently was not in favor of it.
I think it's great storytelling, and it makes having a rematch the next year, it makes it worth it because they're able to tell that story. Like, yeah, you won, but I walked out of there. You didn't walk
exactly.
You didn't really beat me.
And he's 25-2. So he's had 27 of these things. Like eventually you have to tell the story a different way. So it's not the same thing over and over again. And I thought for this year, they did a great job of that. Like he was in serious, serious trouble, but he found a way out last minute and didn't walk out, but he got the win, but he's lucky to get the win. And you know, sometimes that happens in real sports. Sometimes you play a team you're supposed to beat. It's your home court advantage, and maybe you have a little bit more trouble that day than you thought you were going to have, and you kind of get lucky to get out of there, you know?
100%.
Yeah. And you're right. It does set up Georgia, Alabama. Really well. Georgia, Alabama.
The SEC championship game, we should have steamrolled them, and we lost by 3. And then pulverized Florida State by 60 points. Sorry.
I can tell you too, watching, I even though I felt like he was, even the years I was confident overall, but you never know what's going to happen in wrestling.
Yeah.
Every year that he would do this, especially when he went part-time once a year, like I would get that rush of like getting all worked up and, and then especially during the match, you kind of like, okay. And then as soon as he won and got his hand raised, he'd be like,
all right. Ooh,
safe for another 365, you know.
I don't know if they knew, hey, next year we're going to run it back again, but just in case, no matter who we run it with next year, we can tell the story of Taker didn't walk out. You know, he got driven out. So it just so happened it was Triple H again the next year, and it worked perfectly.
Right.
Because they added the Hell in the Cell, they added the Shawn, they added all that, and then the best false finish of all time. Like, it's just, again, I don't know if they had the foresight to look that far ahead from here, but whoever was going to be next year was going to have a great story to tell.
Right. I like that they kind of put that twist on there. He's
yeah.
He's not a dead man or a zombie warrior. He's actually a guy, a professional athlete who's willing to give everything possible to not lose on this particular day.
Yeah. That's what means the most to him, is keeping that streak intact.
Right.
Now you see him collapse right there. We're not going to see him walk to the top of the stage. We're not going to see him
do the arm
raise the fist and look back. So pretty shocking moment there. Randy, do you put this one in your top 20 Undertaker matches of all time? We definitely ranked it there. I don't remember our specific numbers. Do you think it holds a spot in there for you?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Like I said, it was a great, they didn't bring anything different. They weren't doing different moves or diving off the top rope, but that's not their style anyway. And the story they told was so unique. I mean, if you look through all 27 of those WrestleMania matches or any Undertaker match, really, there's not a lot of those out there where it's like, Yeah, remember that time Taker was like really behind and he was going to get beat and he found a way out of it last minute? Like, you immediately remember, oh, WrestleMania 27, I remember that one. You know, it kind of sticks out because of the way they told the story. So, absolutely.
I do think it's not a criticism to say this, but I think it's probably number four out of these four matches for me. Sure. But, you know, that's like saying, you know, it's...
Somebody has to be.
So, yeah, somebody has to be the worst out of those, you know, four great movies or something. One's got to be the least out of all those.
How do you guys rank Triple H Undertaker WrestleMania matches? So there's Hell in a Cell 28, this one and 17. I mean, again, same problem, right? They're all good in their own way. I guess you would 28, 27, 17. Is that how you do it?
Yeah. I think
that's how I would do it.
Yeah.
And has Taker ever been stretchered out like in any incarnation, even as Biker Taker?
I don't think so. I think this is it.
Yeah.
I think this is one time only.
I think so. So that's what really, you know, made it shocking. Oh no.
Future IRS.
No.
And as getting that WrestleMania revenge.
We just found out that Muhammad Ali is going to be in the Hall of Fame too. Yeah. So yeah.
Ugh. I cannot believe I have to say Hall of Famer IRS.
Yes, disgusting. Boy.
Disgusting. Congratulations to IRS, in all seriousness. Good for him. Dean Malenko should be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
This is the ending, the kayfabe ending that we kind of got for real in WrestleMania 30 when he legitimately was knocked out. He walked out, right?
Yeah.
Travis, do you have a Batman analogy to like where this piece of the story is and like the full picture?
Yeah. So if you've seen Dark Knight Rises, they briefly adapted where Bane breaks Batman's back in that. Now, in the comic book in Nightfall, which is my favorite Batman story, he breaks his back. Bruce Wayne is out for years. He has to find a replacement to take over the mantle. That replacement actually becomes violent, starts killing people. Batman comes back and takes over the mantle and defeats his successor, Azrael, John Paul Valley. But so, yeah, that's like this. This is Batman's taken to the limit, broken his back. You know, so Triple H was like Bane here. Absolutely. You know,
beautiful.
But Taker's going to come back to live another day and, you know, ultimately continue his streak.
We didn't plan that.
We did not.
I knew Travis would have some. I think we got to do a Batman episode at some point.
I'm always down for Batman. Babbling Batman. Talking Taker and babbling Batman.
I do enjoy that this match was followed by the "Don't jump off the house" PSA. Like, don't do this at home. You know.
Yeah.
Don't spine buster your little brother through the kitchen table.
Yeah. Right.
Randy, you have anything, any other stats or memories or anything else to share on this one? I know you've got your notes there.
No, that was it. I worked him in. I worked him in all the way through.
Okay,
I wrote an extra note to look up that action figure that you talked about. Now I want to see it.
Yeah, No, it looks good. He's got the jacket on there that he wore out on this match. I got to go find it. So if anybody listening out there has a lead or has an extra one, Steven, if you're listening, hit me up. But I do want to mention also, I had a bonus episode a few years ago with another friend of the show, St. Ridley Santos. We did talked about this tetralogy and talked about it from like a literary professor perspective and analyzed it like you would a great novel, and did a lot of Beowulf references in there. So that's a fun episode to go back and listen to. Travis and I, of course, have our individual episodes for each one of these four matches. And then now we have a complete four pack of watch alongs with Randy. So I encourage everybody to go back in the Talking Taker archives on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or on YouTube and check all of those out here during WrestleMania season. And
we're like I said, Lucas, we just keep going back and changing a little bit to get you guys to buy more.
What else can we do here? You know, we're running out of stuff to do. I'm going to release a master cut or super cut of all four of these here on your podcast feed in a few weeks. If you do want to hear them all in one special
sponsored by Supercuts,
be on the lookout. Ooh, I don't know. Supercuts. Are you listening? I will not get my hair cut there, but if you want to give us money, I'll tell other people to get my hair cut. Travis, you're not getting a haircut anytime soon.
It's been a year. Right. So yeah.
I like see. It. Randy, you probably get one tomorrow.
Every five weeks.
No way. You go 5 weeks?
Every 5 weeks I get it. I do it every 5 weeks. It's supposed to be once a month, but if I go every 5 weeks, then like every so many months it's free, right?
I honestly thought you went once a week.
Really?
Once a week? Gee.
I remember Jeff Jarrett said when Jeff Jarrett was in WCW and he had that buzz cut going, he would talk about how he would go once a week to get his haircut. Sure.
If you're on TV, you know, you got to keep that look the same. I understand that. Well, thanks everybody for listening. Of course, you can follow us on social media at Talking Taker, wherever you want to follow us. I hope you do subscribe and listen to the podcast, all the classic episodes and the new episodes coming out. You never know when you're going to get a special episode like this surprising you in your podcast feed, but we can guarantee you're going to get one on the first of every month. And our next episode, we alluded to it a little bit earlier, we're going to do The Undertaker versus the Iron Claw. So we're going to look at some old school matches of Mark Calloway as the Punisher in World Class Championship Wrestling, or I believe it's in the USWA or some of those territories in Texas, up against the Von Erichs and the like. I've got a match list I gotta send to you, Travis, so we can get our homework done for that. And of course, we're gonna talk about the Iron Claw movie and why Mark Calloway's not in it. Why did he get cut out of the movie? I mean, he's such a significant part of their rivalries. I don't understand how he didn't end up in the movie. But we'll talk about all that. So that'll be fun to look out to on April 1st. Randy, where can people follow you, and what could they expect to follow to get from your feed?
My awesome X handle. I guess it's not a Twitter handle anymore. It's an X handle, I suppose. At Pokey's Little Dog, which is a Foo Fighters rarity, Pokey's Little Puppy, which is too long, so I cut it to Pokey's Little Dog. So had I known it was going to last this long, I probably would have thought of something a little better. But here we are at Pokey's Little Dog, my random tweets about The Undertaker and wrestling, and my weekly tweets about what horror movies I watched that week. And lately I've had a couple tweets about, I was telling you guys before we hit record, I've been watching Doogie Howser MD. I've been going through Doogie Howser MD. I don't know why it hit me. I just thought I need to watch Doogie Howser again. So I've been running through the Doog.
Are you going to start your Doogie Howser podcast?
I might have to, right? We've been talking about like, what's my in for a podcast? Maybe it's Doogie Howser. I just got past season one on Christmas. Doogie faked a flu to go home so he could go to a Christmas party with his friends. Irresponsible.
Classic.
Doing it Doogie style. I think that's the name of your podcast. Nope. All right. Get the trademark on that. Lots of great episodes with Randy in our archives, as we have already mentioned. Of course, a great vlog on the YouTube channel about getting to meet Randy in person and our trip to SummerSlam 2023. So definitely check that out if you never watched that. Very fun. And we had an episode talking about Foo Fighters, the whole bonus episode doing that. When are you going to see them this year?
They are playing Target Field, so that they're playing the baseball stadium where the Twins play.
It's going to be awesome.
On July 28th. It's a Sunday, of course. But then if you think about it, there's a 5 out of 7 chance you're going to see a concert on a work night, right? I mean, it's not likely it's going to be Friday or Saturday. So Sunday night, but this is going to be really cool. I think it's my 13th time seeing them, but after they lost their drummer, you never knew if you were going to have a chance to see them again.
Yeah.
So kind of thanking my lucky stars to get a chance to see them play again and to see them play at a baseball stadium. That's going to be new territory for me. So I'm excited for that this summer. And then the next week is SummerSlam in Cleveland. And we're,
that's right.
We're thinking about meeting up at Cleveland Browns Stadium. Hopefully we'll be able to do that.
The wheels are moving. The gears are spinning, trying to make another trip happen. Dude, the merch at that concert has potential to be really cool if like they go in and like do some baseball themed merch for that.
I know they played Wrigley, they played Fenway, so I've seen the merch for that. They had bobbleheads,
had
jerseys that looked like the, you know, the pinstripes
baseball jersey,
Yankees and the Red Sox, but it said Foo Fighters in that font, and I'm just like, and I'm not a Twins guy, but I don't care, I will buy all of that. So my choices are, I'm on the floor.
I was going to ask, are you on the field?
Right, the field, I guess, is what you call it. But so I'm on the field. There's no seats. So your choices are get let in right away, run to the front, or get let in right away, go to the merch stand and be maybe in the middle of the pack. I will probably go to the merch stand, buy everything, and I'll have this giant sack the entire time I'm standing there. But
well, I don't know if they do it, but a lot of bands lately have been having the merch stand outside of the venue before the show for a few hours, so you could even take it back to the car. I don't know how the parking situation is there, but last couple of concerts I went to, I was able to do that before you got in the door. So I love that. So you don't have to sit in the waiting line and or even take it in with you. You can go ahead and put it back in the car.
Uncle Dave will tell you to buy the shirt after the show.
That way, of course,
the whole time, right? What could go wrong?
Right. Yeah.
Empty clothes hangers swinging in the breeze. There's nothing left.
You got a kid's size medium there in the jersey, which might work for you. You might be able to pull that off. But always a pleasure to have you on, Randy. I'm sure we will do it again in the future. Looking forward to WrestleMania this year. Looking forward to hopefully SummerSlam in the fall. That's all I got, man. Travis, you want to close us out?
Yes, thank you guys for joining us. If you were there with Alex and I at WrestleMania 27, let us know. Were you wearing a neon green shirt like our buddy was? Or were you the other guy in the Eddie Vedder solo tour from 2009 shirt that walked past me? I got to find that guy. That was just the weirdest thing. So anyway, we'd love to hear your stories from this night. Thank you for joining. If you've watched all four of these along with us, let us know. But
we'd love to hear your Abdullah the Butcher's House of Ribs and Chinese
food
stories.
To this place, we'd love to hear how your experience was, not how your experience was after, because we know what that experience was like. So
pretty similar to it going in.
Pretty similar. Yeah, it's pretty much the same. In and out burger. Different meaning.
Same way in, same way out.
On that note, ladies and gentlemen, stay safe out there. And as always, take her easy.
You're sitting at home, you're watching wrestling, and you're hungry. Where else to go but at Camelton Road at Abdullah the Butcher's House of Ribs and Chinese Food? The greatest in Atlanta! Right here at Abdullah the Butcher's House.
Hey, John, don't forget the map. Don't forget to tell the people how to get here. Don't forget to tell them how to get here.
Let me tell you, Al and I come right around the loop. I get off at Lakewood Freeway, and I'm here, brother.
Lakewood Freeway, Camelton Road.
Every Tuesday and Thursday, you see me here,
Al. Yes, sir.
The greatest in Atlanta, Georgia.
Thank you, John. Thank you.